It's Wednesday, September 27th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Coming up this half hour, the U.S. Congress once again gives up the effort to repeal Obamacare, while Republicans once again promise to try again. Growing concerns about Russia's use of propaganda and social media to meddle in the internal affairs and elections of Western democracies, and developing a cleaner kiln for cleaner air.
So this technology of zigzag kiln is better than the Bull's Trench kiln, not only in terms of energy performance, but also in terms of environmental emissions.
It's all ahead for you on International Edition. U.S. Republicans and President Donald Trump suffered another setback on health care Tuesday when Senate Republicans decided to postpone a vote on their latest proposal to repeal and replace Obamacare. The decision came after a handful of Republicans said they would oppose the bill, likely dooming it to defeat in a Senate vote. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has the story from Washington.
Disappointed Republican senators decided not to go ahead with a vote this week after it became clear that their latest alternative to Obamacare was headed for defeat. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell spoke to reporters at the Capitol.
We haven't given up on changing the American health care system. We are not going to be able to do that this week, but it still lies ahead of us, and we haven't given up on that.
The decision came after a handful of Republicans, including Susan Collins of Maine, John McCain of Arizona, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, indicated they would vote against the bill. The Republican plan also faced more protests Tuesday, a day after demonstrators took to the halls of Congress and interrupted a Senate hearing. Senate Democrats took a victory lap, including Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
The Cassidy-Graham bill would have been a health care disaster. The American people saw it, rose to the occasion, and our colleagues had no choice in the face of opposition from one end of the land to the other to withdraw their bill.
President Trump expressed his frustration with the outcome at the White House.
At some point, there will be a repeal and replace, but we'll see whether or not that point is now or will it be shortly thereafter. But we are disappointed in certain so-called Republicans.
Republicans also failed to repeal and replace Obamacare in late July, when Senator McCain cast the deciding vote with a resounding thumbs down. This latest failure on health care is a political setback for the president, says analyst John Hudak.
The president says a lot about his management ability and a lot about his negotiation ability, and he really hasn't shown that he's successful in either since he became president.
The health care defeat could also damage Republican hopes to increase their congressional majorities in next year's midterm elections, says Bill Galston.
I think the real worry is for congressional Republicans who are in danger of going to their constituents with nothing to show for full unified control of the federal government.
But one of the sponsors of the Republican effort, Senator Lindsey Graham, said he and his colleagues would try again in the months ahead.
To my Republican friends throughout the country, there's plenty of fight left in us, like there's fight left in you.
The president and his Republican allies in Congress will now focus on tax reform, another key campaign promise from last year's election. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
VOA social media editor Andrew Palcheski has joined us here in studio. That means it's time to take a look at what people are talking about out there on social media. Andrew, what are people talking about out there on social media?
Well, Doug, the ink has barely cooled on this tax reform framework, and already it is getting a lot of discussion on social media. Hashtag tax reform already trending as people are looking at what the Republican plan is. A lot of criticism saying it favors the wealthy. A lot of Republicans are trying to bolster this and try to support it, knowing that they need a win legislatively. Healthcare was kind of a debacle in trying to get that through. Mm-hmm. This is something that they feel like they can have a big win with. So we're already seeing that start to be discussed in social media. And I think we're going to see in the coming days and weeks a lot of what we saw with the healthcare bill, which was a lot of social media advocacy. We saw a lot of these different hashtags pop up on mm-hmm. both sides of the issue, people either supporting or opposed to the bill, using social media to try to get their position out there, to try to reach out to members of Congress, to try to sway their vote. I think that social media has been an incredibly powerful tool to do that, to get people's voices out there to members of Congress. So I think we're going to see that for this tax reform proposal as well.
So curious, because really a lot of the details have still yet to be unveiled. I mean, how are they able to respond to something that they really may not know a lot about?
Well, that's where it gets kind of interesting, because people run with certain lines or proposals and they say, oh, well, this means this, or, oh, no, it means that. There's a lot of interpretation. So it can be tricky when plans aren't solidified and they come out just as kind of these vague terms. People kind of run with them in any which way they can. But we're seeing a lot of instances where people will take one snippet of information and say, well, this means for you that you're going to pay more in tax, or if you're making over $1 million, that you pay less in tax. Mm-hmm. Not all of that is always accurate. As we've talked about time and time again with social media, people sometimes misinterpret things either intentionally or unintentionally. So I think until we start it's shocking, I know. Until we start to see some of the more concrete facts come out, there's going to be a lot of people interpreting things this way or that to push out their point. But it really is that effort to try to push either for this bill or against it with whatever's out there.
Is it just politics that's on people's minds, or are there other topics that people are thinking and talking about?
Oh, there's always politics in some form or another. Even around the world, looking still at the United States, but a little further from the continental mm-hmm. United States to Puerto Rico, the U.S. territory, lots of people talking about singer Pitbull donating his private plane to try to help cancer patients get out of Puerto Rico, where, of course, they have no power and there's been flooding, trying to get them to the United States to get evacuated. So lots of people noting that on social media, saying what a great thing that is. And lots of people on social media talking about the politics of hurricane relief. Specifically, there's a provision that would lift a shipping ban for international ships to come into Puerto Rico mm-hmm. to bring supplies. This was something that was lifted for Hurricane Harvey in Texas, Hurricane Irma in Florida, but has not been lifted for Puerto Rico yet. So a lot of advocates saying that the Department of Homeland Security needs to lift this provision, allow foreign ships to come in and bring supplies to the island, which desperately needs it.
We're going to be taking a look at that issue just a little bit later in the program. But briefly, do I remember right, isn't Pitbull from Puerto Rico?
He is from his Puerto Rican roots. He's from Miami. He's Mr. 305, which is the area code there in Miami, Florida. But certainly, someone who has strong roots in Puerto Rico, somebody that really wants to help those people there.
And quickly, there's that other singer. He's the son of the famous other singer, Mark.
Mark Antony.
Mark Antony.
Yes.
He's also been out there critical of the president, but also talking about that as well. Andrew Palcheski, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Doug.
VOA social media editor Andrew Palcheski. Here are some of the top stories trending at this hour. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says the United States will not abandon Afghanistan's fight against the Taliban. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia decrees that women will be allowed to drive cars. NASA partners with Russia's Roscosmos to build a deep space gateway near the moon. And Iraqi Kurds vote overwhelmingly for independence in an election harshly criticized by Baghdad. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more on our website, voanews.com, and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Fast radio bursts are the latest astronomical phenomenon to pique the interest of scientists. And they are just that, very fast, lasting less than 5 milliseconds. They are brilliant but powerful pulses of electromagnetic energy at radio wavelengths. Fast radio bursts were discovered in 2007 by a couple of astronomers who were studying archival data gathered by the Parkes Radio Telescope in Australia. Now a pair of astronomers from the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics say that they have estimated just how many fast radio bursts should take place over the entire observable universe. They say their calculations determine there should be at least one FRB going off somewhere every second. Because the fast radio bursts are so fast, less than 30 detections have been confirmed since their discovery 10 years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. U.S. President Donald Trump said yesterday that the U.S. islands devastated by Hurricane Maria are getting massive help. Speaking at a joint news conference with the visiting Spanish Prime Minister, Mariano Rajoy, Trump said his administration is doing all it can to help hurricane victims on the islands of Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. He also denied he was distracted by his feud with football team members who have staged protests during the playing of the national anthem. As VOA's Zlatica Hoke reports, Mr. Trump plans to visit Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands next week to inspect the relief effort.
Puerto Rico was cut off from mainland U.S. for days after Hurricane Maria left the island without power, clean water, and communications. The island has run out of food, fuel, and medical supplies at a time when hospitals are more crowded than ever.
I don't know if you have been around the country, but this is something incredible, 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 the crisis in the entire country.
Some people have waited at the San Juan airport since last week for a flight off the island, including this woman who depends on insulin injections.
They don't have no ice here. They don't have anything to help me keep my insulin safe.
President Trump on Tuesday hastened to address critics who said his administration has neglected the storm-hit U.S. territories.
We are unloading on an hourly basis massive loads of water and food and supplies for Puerto Rico. And this isn't like Florida, where we can go right up the spine, or like Texas, where we go right down the middle and we distribute. This is, you know, a thing called the Atlantic Ocean. This is tough stuff.
The president also met with emergency officials on Tuesday, who later told reporters that flotillas with supplies and personnel were dispatched to the islands to deal with the increasing humanitarian crisis.
There are thousands of federal staff from FEMA, Department of Defense, and other federal agencies in Puerto Rico and in the U.S. Virgin Islands supporting those governors in response and recovery.
Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossella also spoke in Trump's defense as he toured a gas facility near San Juan Port. He said he had spoken with the president and was reassured that he cared about the island.
I am confident that he does, and I fully expect his support on this effort. He has verbally made that clear to me personally. So, you know, and again, I want to thank him for acting quickly on some of these things.
As Puerto Rico's ports and airports restored their capacity to receive more cargo ships and planes, the distribution of aid is expected to speed up. But Maria is not done yet. The storm is moving north along the U.S. coast, causing waves and flooding in North Carolina and forcing evacuations from some coastal areas. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Turning now to international affairs, Western countries are increasingly saying that Russia is making no secret of its efforts to meddle in or influence their affairs and even their elections. Yet they admit attempts to fend off those actions are having trouble gaining traction. VOA national security correspondent Jeff Selden has the story.
Boot! Nazis!
Supporters of the anti-Islam Pegida movement rallying in the streets of Dresden this week, after the Alternative for Germany party won 12.6% of the vote in the country's election, a surge some have tied to another round of Russian meddling, taken from an all-too-familiar playbook.
They go for the left wings, and they go for the right wings, and they also go for the extreme religious parties.
In the case of Germany, officials say Russia played off fears about an influx of hundreds of thousands of refugees. And Swedish officials like Nils Svart say they are already seeing signs of similar tactics ahead of their elections set for next year.
The goal for this action is not to put any special ideology on the Swedes. It's more to divide us, make us a more insecure society.
And following Russia's attempt to influence the U.S. presidential election last year, U.S. lawmakers fear Russian efforts have only gained momentum.
What their propaganda is all about is really disinformation, trying to get the people of Europe to believe that you can't believe anybody.
Western countries say much of that has been done with social media, like Facebook, Twitter, and Google, and by outlets like Moscow's Russia Today news channel. Charges Russia and RT dismiss.
We urge viewers to tune in and watch and decide for yourselves.
But ventures like RT may be just the start. One of the growing concerns for U.S. and European officials is that it seems Russia's no longer content just to distribute propaganda and disinformation. And increasingly, Moscow's looking to other means to penetrate Western society.
One is the ability of outside forces to drive money into elections without showing the hand of who's behind the money. Political dark money and opaque shell corporations are an open invitation to the Russians to continue their election interference.
So far, the tactic seems to have worked.
They were affecting the public political debates and the programs of political parties, or the behavior of their actors.
As one Russia researcher put it, only half jokingly, for now, every election is a Russian election. A grim outlook, to be sure. Jeff Selden, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, cleaning the environment by making cleaner bricks. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is International Edition. Bricks, simple slabs of baked clay, have been a vital building material around the world for millennia. But traditional brick-making methods produce pollution, and that pollution threatens health and the climate. As VOA's Steve Barragona reports, better, cleaner methods do exist, but the industry is poorly regulated, and change is a challenge.
Roughly 300 billion bricks per year come out of kilns across South Asia. In India alone, this one industry creates nearly 10% of the country's soot, a health hazard and a potent contributor to climate change. Nearly all of the kilns follow one basic design, according to Sachin Kumar at India's Energy Research Institute.
The existing technology of brickmaking in India is Bullstone kiln, which is highly polluting and energy-consuming.
The Bull's Trench kiln dates back to the 19th century. The Energy Research Institute and others have been promoting another method, which uses a zigzag kiln, named for the way the air moves through the bricks.
So this technology of zigzag kiln is better than the Bull's Trench kiln, not only in terms of energy performance, but also in terms of environmental emissions.
Kumar says black carbon emissions from the zigzag kiln are about 75% lower, and it uses 15 to 20% less fuel. That saves owners money, a good reason to switch. But experts say lack of information, weak regulation, and poor enforcement are barriers to change. For starters, authorities generally do not know where all the kilns are located. But Stanford University researchers are working on a way to map them from space. Stephen Luby saw the kiln's smoke plumes while flying over India.
So then I got thinking, well, wait a minute. If I can do this sitting in a plane, we must be able by remote satellite to detect these as well.
Luby's team used high-resolution data from a European satellite. They combined visual imagery with the kiln's heat signature, says research assistant Abhilash Sundar Raj.
Our algorithm actually detects these kilns very well. In fact, in the small district we were looking at, it found brick kilns which the ground team did not find during their data collection.
Mapping is just the first step. Kilns may be cheaper to operate, but retrofits cost money up front. Luby's team plans to study incentives for owners to change. And owners need technical help too, notes Sachin Kumar.
Apart from the financial challenge, I think one of the major issues for the existing entrepreneur will be availability of the local service providers, because they are the one who can help him, who can guide him in adopting the ZigZag technology.
It's a big job. Across South Asia, there are tens of thousands of Bull's Trench kilns to retrofit. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
And revisiting our top story at this hour, U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says the United States, with its new strategy for breaking the deadlock with the Taliban, is not going to give up the fight in Afghanistan. Secretary Mattis made his comments during a surprise visit to Kabul on Wednesday. Hours after he arrived, a rocket attack on the Kabul airport killed one person and wounded several others. The Taliban claimed responsibility, saying the attack was aimed at Secretary Mattis' plane. The Islamic State has also claimed responsibility. Secretary Mattis was not near the airport at the time. Well, that is International Edition for you today to this hour. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Thanks so much for joining us. You can visit our website, voanews.com, 24 hours a day for all the latest from around the world. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll be with us again tomorrow.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Liberia has come a long way since the end of its second civil war in 2003. Since then, the economy grew by more than 7% per year. Per capita income rose by nearly ninefold, and life expectancy went from 53 to 61 years. Liberia also made notable progress toward democracy. This includes the nurturing of a vibrant media and active civil society, civil service and public financial management reforms, and the rehabilitation of infrastructure, said USAID Acting Assistant Administrator for Africa, Cheryl Anderson. Over the past 10 years, the United States, Liberia's largest bilateral donor, has dedicated significant resources to help Liberia remain on a path of democratic governance and stability. Our programs in Liberia address the underlying structural and institutional problems that gave rise to 14 years of civil strife and war, while at the same time tackling the country's more immediate development needs, said Assistant Administrator Anderson. On October 10th, Liberians will go to the polls to elect a new government. It is a historic election because if it is successful, it will result in the country's first peaceful democratic transition in more than 70 years. It also will mark a critical milestone in Liberia's progress toward a stable democracy. However, Liberia's National Elections Commission is facing a number of challenges that could complicate the elections, said Daniel Yamamoto, Acting Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs. This includes poor infrastructure, inadequate funding, and heavy rain that could complicate election logistics. We are providing comprehensive programming support to the Liberian National Election Commissions, civil society organizations, and media outlets in the run-up to the 2017 elections. In addition, our ambassador is meeting with candidates running for president to emphasize the importance of peaceful elections and a transition in government that builds upon the progress made in the last 12 years, he said. This election is critical, not just for what the transition represents, but because it will give Liberians the opportunity to elect a president well-equipped to lead the country towards a peaceful and prosperous future, he said. We look to Liberia's election as another positive step forward for democracy in West Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.